Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I'm your host, John McGee. Before we get going on this week's business, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at @batflips_nerds and to subscribe and rate the show on iTunes if you've not done so already. This week I'm joined as ever by East Anglia's answer to Voros McCracken, Mr. Darius Austin. Now Tom's given you strict instructions to keep it light, Darius, so no ranting from you, please.
I know, he made it sound like I was your handler or something, like, oh, John can't be allowed out in public by himself. You need to control his output.
Yeah, I'm feral. What we all know really in private is that you're the most reactionary of all of us. It's just you manage to handle yourself rather better than the rest of us when let out in public.
Yeah, just got to keep it on the down low, really.
Absolutely.
In Slack chat.
Yeah, that's where it is. The angriest man in the Slack chat, Darius Austin. That's the secret. I'm also delighted to say that the man behind the MLB UK community and UK Phillies TV as of next year is also with us. It's Mr. Dave Shaw. Dave, how the heck are you this evening?
I'm great, guys. I'm great. Thank you for having me on again, guys. A lot to get off my chest this evening.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. We've got a lot to cover. The hot stove.
Am I allowed off the leash?
Yeah. Oh goodness me. Very, very much so. I mean, it's just a good job we haven't got Tom here, because I think with me and you, Dave, it sounds like it's going to be a right one. Darius, maybe you better go into the room and get the leash. So we've got a lot to cover. The hot stove is, of course, heating up. We're going to talk about whatever the hell Brody Van Wagenen, which is an awesome name, is doing in a bit, and the sad retirement of one of baseball's brightest and best. But we've got to start with the elephant in the room. So if I can I take you back to a fortnight ago with the glossy face of Alex Rodriguez all over British televisions, newspapers and magazines? Weren't we all really excited this time 2 weeks ago? We were hanging on the line waiting for our 5 minutes with A-Rod, which never came. And we were told by our good friends in MLB UK that they were working on it for us and that we might still be able to have a conversation with the great man himself. And then Wednesday happened. And I kind of wonder if they're not our friends anymore, because, hey, you guys have seen what happened with the ticket prices. We all know the spread was going to be £30 to £385, and we anticipated there were going to be lots of expensive ones and hopefully quite a few cheap ones. And, the spread was rather not what we were expecting. Talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, although the involvement of both Piers Morgan and Mike Bushell in the A-Rod events had probably already set the tone for that. Anyway, let's get into it, guys. Dave, you're here not just as a huge fan of baseball yourself, obviously a massive Phillies fan, but as a man who's put more than most into building this fan community here in the UK. So if you can you talk us through your initial reaction when you saw that price schedule that was bouncing around the internet?
Oh, initial reaction. What a total balls up. What, like, do you remember Charlie Hill came on your podcast in March as well, and he said, look, we're gonna aim us around families coming, build a legacy, new fans for everybody, for old fans, new fans, diehard fans, fans coming from all over Europe, all over the world. All he gave it the whole shebang. You know, I was so excited again when the announcement was made official, as Tom touched over in the piece he did for you guys with the press conference. Again, really touching base. This is going to be for new fans as well. And then Wednesday happens. Like, what? Who is this for? Like, the cheap seats, okay, there's 30, 40 pounds, 60 pounds seats. And yes, they're going to say, well, you get those the same in America. But those ballparks in America are built for baseball. The views, even in the cheap seats up in the heaven, are still fantastic because the grandstands are tall and vertical, and you get a fantastic view. London Stadium's not built for baseball. Those seats at the back, you're going to get an absolute shocking view. You know, and it's the 60 pounds, okay, they're not bad, but only from the front few rows. As the guy alluded to in your piece, the West Ham season ticket holder, it's going to be a bin fest for those seats at the front. Anyone who doesn't get it can be disappointed yet again. You know, it should have been capped. All those tickets should have been capped to £20, £30. You know, to get any sort of decent view, you're looking at £120 for any sort of decent view. For a good view, what, £140, £170? The grandstands, the section by the flagpoles, what, going for what, £220? Come on, who is that? Who's this for? So many fans have missed out. This is what gets me the most. It's priced me out, but fair enough. But it's the fact that you've got Red Sox and Yankees fans. It's their teams. They're missing out on this. And if so, they're having to settle for the cheap tickets at the back. That's not right to me. That's not right at all. That's not thinking about the fans, is it? You know, you've got diehard fans, avid fans, casual fans. So many people missing out. People who want to come over from Europe, from America, from all over the UK. You know, they're not thinking about how much people are spending on traveling down, hotels, food, drink. It's just an absolute missed opportunity. Yes, it's going to sell out still, but the majority of the avid diehard fans are going to be scrambling for the cheap £30, £60, which still isn't that actually cheap, £120 seats. And the rest of it's just going to fill with majority of people who more likely live in London, or, you know, people who can afford it. It's not a problem to them, but I just feel that so many fans have missed out, and that's what gets me the most.
So they're going for the experience market, if you will. People who aren't even going to pay any attention. They're just there for the Prosecco and the banter.
The corporate. Okay, you're going to have some diehard fans in there, and anyone who's willing to partake in that much money, respect, fair play, but nothing against that at all. But I'm just gutted for the genuine fans who are going to miss out. Who either can't go at all, who can now go to one day instead of two, and they're going to be stuck at the back with an awful view. Let's not beat around the bush. It's not good. It's not good enough. Not good enough at all. And how about new fans? You know, I had so many mates I wanted to take down, you know, who are interested. Like, I'll get back to the ticket prices. Got back to them. It's like, I don't want to sit at the back and have a crap view. And, you know, you can't afford, you know, baseline seats, £320. Come on. You know, it's just not catered for the real fans in mind, and the new fans especially. They've seen the 50 plus pre-sale demand after the first day and gone cha-ching, we're gonna sell this thing out, whatever happens.
So did you say that Dave that this has priced you out yourself? I mean, that would be like a real shame that somebody like you, who's put so much of your own time, effort, and I don't doubt a little bit your own money into sort of stoking the fire here, is this it for you? Are you not going to be there?
I'm not going to be there. Definitely, I'm not going to be there. I wanted to, it's more personal preference for me. I'm not massively gutted that I'm missing out myself, because it's more the people that have, you know, the true fans of Red Sox and the people who really want it to be there that can't be there. But I don't want to sit out. I'm not going to battle it out on Monday. One, I can't get online that early in the morning. I don't know what's going to be left. I don't want to sit at the back. I would like to have paid 120, max 150 for some baseline seats or some for a decent view, but it's just personal preference. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to pay that sort of money, but instead I'm going to go absolute all out in laying on some events over that weekend with Baseball by Committee for the people who are either going for one day or people who are going to miss out completely. I still love them to come down to London, and we're going to try and make the experience, you know, for newcomers and people who can't go, the best it can be.
Well, we'll come on to that in a minute, Dave. I was going to ask you about what you guys are going to do. But before we do, Darius, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the record, because we've had a conversation privately, and I think it's safe to say that we were all in staunch agreement with Tom's blog post that Dave alluded to there. We were expecting these to be expensive, but maybe not as prohibitively expensive. I mean, the point that really hit home for me in Tom's blog post, I mean, not being like boastful or anything here, like, I have a job that allows me to afford to splash out on things like this. I look after my money and I can pay for things like this on occasion if I deem them a luxury that I can afford. But I don't have any kids. I don't want to be taking all of my little family for a new experience. And that was the real shame for me, as Dave touched on as well. Family of four, this is looking at shelling out a grand, and that's a tough pill to swallow, Darius, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely is. And I think, you know, we've had quite a few people say, oh, what are you moaning about? You know, you could have been saving up for this. And I think the real kicker for me is how limited the £30 and the £45 seats are. They're so far away from the pitch. There doesn't look to be that many of them either. They pretty quickly ascend into the £60 price category. which are still miles away. You know, a lot of them are further away than any seat you'll sit at in any ballpark in the US. And yeah, if you're saying, well, I'm going to take my family a fall down for a game, and you've got to spend 240 quid alone on seats that kids aren't going to be able to see anything from, I could understand why people are annoyed. So yeah, it's great if you've been able to save up and, you know, you think, well, okay, whatever, I'll spend 200 quids on tickets for the weekend. This is what I've been waiting for. But if you do have a family and you've got a lot of things to budget for, this just is not in your price range. And yeah, I understand that maybe if you compare it to a big test cricket series or, you know, a premium matchup of teams, I compared it to when I went to see the Giants in the opening series in San Francisco. And even then, it wasn't this expensive. And, you know, I got those tickets because I was there and those were the games I had to go to if I wanted to see the team. But it's really just that the price range, I think it goes so quickly to the out of those low price tickets that I think that's really what's taken people about, because people weren't saying when it came out that the low end is £30. I didn't see many people saying, well, this is too much money. I don't think anybody thought that. But as soon as everybody saw how few of those £30 tickets there were, I think that's really what's made people go, well, how am I supposed to afford this? And do I even want to sit in these seats at a stadium that's not designed for baseball? And yeah, if you're taking your, you know, 6-year-old and your 8-year-old along, they're not going to see the baseball from those seats. It's ludicrous. So yeah, I'm sure there are many people who are working on this who probably wanted the prices to be lower than they are. I expect there are a lot of forces at work here, and perhaps people who would have liked to set the price point a little bit lower have been overruled by some of the corporate interests involved, which is a real shame. I'm sure they'll still sell all the tickets because, you know, it's a big event in a major city and they've clearly had a lot of interest in the pre-sales, otherwise they wouldn't have done this. But yeah, overall, just a really big shame. And it's a shame to see all the goodwill that's been built up about this in the community kind of destroyed as well, because everybody was so excited and this has been a really sour note to kick off the whole process.
Yeah, I know one thing that you wanted to touch on was people making comparisons to other events, and including you could go over and see games in the States for the same price as this. And you touched on the fact that you had got some seats for the Giants that were not as expensive as this. And I know that was something that had caused a little bit of frustration for you, that so many people were making that comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's at all the right comparison to make. You know, the demand is completely different anyway. It's obviously a whole different situation. Every team there has got 81 home games to sell. They're clearly treating this as a different event anyway, which it is. And I don't think anybody's surprised to see that there are expensive tickets for this. You know, you go and sit behind home plate in most stadiums in the US, you will find expensive tickets, unless it's, you know, a team like the A's or something and they're in a rebuilding year. But most of those seats are expensive. But the other thing I wanted to point out about that is people seem very annoyed at Major League Baseball and the you know, people associated with this for putting the prices up. But then they're turning around and saying, well, I'm going to spend my money on a trip to the US and see my team. And if you want to give MLB a bloody nose, don't tell them you're about to go over to the US and pay money to be in a Major League ballpark. They're just going to get the money anyway. So, yeah, if you're really, really annoyed about this and you want to say you're not having my money, cancel your MLB TV. Don't go over and pay to see your team. So, yeah, you know what, maybe I'll wait for next year, see if you give me some sensible ticket prices, and then you can have my money. But I think telling MLB, I'll just go and spend my money on baseball somewhere else, well, they're going to fill the ballpark anyway, and they're getting your money from another avenue. So I think if you're out there and you're a person who wants to make a point, then that's a bad point to make, because they're going to get the money regardless.
So Dave said already that he's not going to go, and I know I'm not breaking any confidences here in saying that we too were thinking about what we were going to do around that event. And that included some early conversations that we'd had with the team in the office in London about how we could do some things with them. And I have to be honest, I'm kind of, even personally, starting to think, like, do we want to do that? I mean, I think I still am going to go, but I feel really reticent about committing. I think I'm going to take a view on Monday morning, honestly. What about you, Darius?
Yeah, I think I'm going to see what happens. That post that Dave mentioned from the West Ham season ticket holder today.
Johnny,
that was actually really good. If you haven't seen it on the site, go and check that out. Because Johnny basically he goes to all the games. So he broke down all the sections and said, here's where your value for money is. Don't sit in these sections. You're not going to get a view from here, or you're going to be facing directly a foul pole from here, things like that. So that I found that really instructive, and that kind of, you know, I think I'll certainly be following his advice if I'm looking at the tickets. But I'm not going to go and say, well, yeah, I'm going to spend 120, 140 quid if all the other tickets are gone. That's not something I'm going to do. I'd rather go and join the Baseball Y Committee guys and one of their events and have a good time with the people in the community we've built, because I think that will be much more enjoyable than, you know, easily spending 300 quid on a weekend seeing baseball in the park. I think, you know, that's just going to leave a sour taste in everybody's mouth. So, yeah, I'm kind of like you. I think I'll wait and see and see how I feel about it on Monday morning and see what's available.
So I must stress that we have heard privately some really brilliant things about what MLB and some of the British baseball community are hoping to do around fan engagement, player legacy with the clubs in the UK, how they're going to sell the sport to young kids in the poorer parts of East London, which of course the ballpark itself is in a really poor part of London. Just kind of hope that this hasn't been lost in the swell, like they haven't forgot that this is as important, if not more important. Well, absolutely, let's be clear, it is more important than selling £385 tickets to tossers who are taking one stop along from Moorgate on the Central Line. So, you know, let's wait and see on that front. But maybe let's try and turn a negative into a positive, Dave. You said that you and your colleagues, George and Hannah, and everybody else who helps you out with MLB UK community have still got things planned. So what are your intentions? How are you going to help turn this into a celebration of the British baseball community with so games on in the background?
Let's have some positives then. So, we are planning a Friday night, Saturday and Sunday events. We're meeting with Belushi's tomorrow, where we've had our events in London already, to sit down with them and go for our ideas. We want to help bring that, because it's going to be a festival of baseball, and I'm buzzing. I mean, I'm not going, I'm still buzzing for this weekend. We're going to have thousands and thousands of baseball fans in London that weekend. Like, we look at the NFL when they have their games, and you know, they're lined up on Regent Street and they're having their big events, and I'm like, oh, I wish we could have that. And now we've got it, and now let's embrace it. The ticket prices can't be changed, it's out, let's move on. You know, we're going to set up events at Belushi Friday night. Hope you have a big get together. Hopefully, there's some early games we can put on. Just get some MLB show on PlayStation. Get some drinks, food, some fantasy baseball talk, some podcasts, some competitions, some games, some fun. Like a tailgate sort of party, just to bring that flavor, baseball flavor and experience, atmosphere and experience over. Saturday and Sunday, we'll do two big watch parties. So, like I said earlier, people who've got a ticket for one day, not the other, or people who had plans to come to London but couldn't get tickets are going to come down anyway. Come to us. Again, we'll put on the other games, the London game. Just be part of the atmosphere. The events are great atmospheres anyway. London's going to be buzzing, and it's going to be a great place to be, even if you've got a ticket or not. And it's worth coming down just to soak up some of the flavour, meet new people. You're going to be meeting so many new people, so many fans of your team that you may not even know are out there. People who you know from Twitter that you've never met before, you know, putting faces to names. It's a fantastic atmosphere. Let's hope the BBC do secure the rights, because I think that's really going to help. That's really going to, once if they get that and start advertising it as well, that's going to really ramp up interest. You're going to get people out in London seeing what it's all about. Yeah, it's just, we're going to try and put on the best show possible for the people that aren't there for that day for whatever reason, and try and make it sort of the next best place to be.
Absolutely, when we would be fully on board with that, mate. It sounds fantastic. You know, if you can't get a £30 seat to have a guess at where the ball is, game of spot the ball, you'll definitely be able to see it on the telly. And I know all three of us have been to a number of US baseball stadiums, and I think we can let everybody else into the little secret that oftentimes you can actually see what's happening in baseball better on the telly than you can in a ballpark. And yes, the atmosphere is fantastic, but I can say from personal experience of this ballpark, or whatever you want to call it, that the atmosphere is not the best, even as a football stadium. So maybe we're doing ourselves a favour being collectively priced out, Darius. I don't know. Is it going to be better in the Olympic Park and down at Belushi's than it would be in the stadium, do you think?
I think it's a little bit difficult. I have been to the NFL games at London, and you know, the atmosphere is quite unusual for a sports event, because you have got fans of all the teams there. I am really interested to see if we find a Reds fan. Actually, that is one reason I really want to go to the London Stadium.
I'm going to wear a Reds shirt just so there's one there. I've already decided that.
Contest. We have to run around the stadium and see who can collect all 30 teams first. Because, yeah, every time I bring it up, nobody ever tweets us to say, I'm a Reds fan in the UK. So. But yeah, it does create a slightly unusual atmosphere. And I think that, you know, not an unpleasant one. I think it's quite nice to have fans from all the teams who are just there because they like the sport. But I think it could be a little bit different with this being the Red Sox and the Yankees. We know how many Red Sox fans there are in the UK. I know our good friend Adam Perry is already coordinating a lot of them to sit together at the park. So I think there will be a fairly sizable Red Sox contingent there for sure. But it's hard to know exactly what it's going to feel like. And certainly compared to, say, when I've been to San Francisco, or I'm sure when you went to Fenway, I think it's going to be a very different atmosphere from that kind of game. So, yeah, I think it will be unique. But I also think it'll be a lot of fun to go and hang out with the guys in the bar and just enjoy the games in London. And you know, maybe there'll be other things associated with the event that you can go along to that aren't quite so difficult or so expensive to buy tickets for.
Yeah.
The other thing, I guess, Dave, is that there's going to be a lot of our Yankee cousins, and I say that in the broader sense, not just the people who wear the pinstripes that are flattering to their physique, but support a baseball team that is devoutly evil. A lot of American people, should I say, coming over, and it's going to be an awesome opportunity for us to sort of show them what we're about, that this is a sport that we as a community really care about already. So give them a pleasant surprise, I guess.
Give two ways as well. They can bring their authenticity over and we can show them sort of how we do things, and the mix of it will be fantastic. You know, we have quite a few expats and Americans who are on holiday, have been to our events, and they add a real flavor to these events as well, and they will do at the ballpark as well. Like you see with the NFL games, Americans that come over, they absolutely embrace it when they come over, and I really hope we get that the same as that with the baseball.
Yeah, absolutely, hear on that front. So I think what we're saying is that this is a real shame, a real disappointment. And Dave, you're not the only one. I know of a sort of, if you want to go on genuine bona fide, as we've heard of a few people who we've had on this podcast before, who have been fans of baseball for 20, 30 years, who have decided that this is something that's going to be beyond them, who do indeed go over to the States and to Canada every year to watch baseball. And, you know, much as Darius is right that that's maybe not the right comparison to make here, it's still a big day out. You know, you could probably go to Disneyland Paris with a family of four for the cost of this. That's the sphere of comparison here, isn't it?
Have MLB UK come out yet and said why they've priced it? Why is there no kids prices? Why is there no student prices? Why is there not a segregation for Red Sox or Yankees fans, or any priority to UK Red Sox or Yankees fans? Something that to show they actually do care about the fans, you know?
Well, they haven't, have they? I mean, you know the answer to your own question.
They have said, I saw somebody, them replying to somebody saying that there are kids prices in certain sections, although it was not entirely clear as to what they were or where those sections were.
Okay, so they have said that, but I feel a bit sorry for the poor intern who's been controlling that Twitter account this week. That can't have been... let's hope they got out for a sandwich on Thursday lunchtime, as yet another person pointed them in the direction of Tom's blog. Don't inflate that man's ego any further. He doesn't need it. He's already got a head the size of an elephant. right. Well, I think we found some positives here. It's still going to be great. Let's just be absolutely abundantly clear about this. We're still grateful. It's still amazing that this is going to happen. It's brilliant that they've chosen London, not Berlin, not Paris, not Rome, not Phnom Penh, London. It's coming to London, and it's absolutely brilliant. And even if fewer of us get into those hallowed seats than we might have hoped, we're still going to have a good time, I hope.
Exactly, exactly.
Great. So, you know, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. And I'll tell you what, but moving on from, this is a terrible link, but I'm going to carry on with it anyway. Moving on from something that is not all bad to something that is all bad. See, I got it out that time. I want to talk about a man who's retired from baseball. One of my favorite baseball players of all time. And I know he's one of yours, Darius. And I'm sure I speak for you, Dave, because he's pretty much everyone's.
Yeah.
Adrian Beltre is not going to be playing next year. And he went out in classic fashion today. I don't know if you saw his press conference where he said that he told John Daniels, the GM of Texas Rangers, that he was signing for the Dodgers. And he had him go in and then smiled, laughed and told him he was pulling his leg. He was actually retiring. So Beltre going out in the way that he played the game. What a brilliant player and an absolute breath of fresh air, Darius.
Yeah, just I think it's been really quite heartening to see just how everybody has reacted to Beltre over the last few years. I think he's very firmly put himself as a definite Hall of Famer with the way he's played into his late 30s. Still an above average defender at third base, just wonderful fielder, and also just tremendous with the bat. But I think that all pales in comparison to just the way that he played, the amount of fun he seemed to be having when he was doing it, his bromance with Elvis Andrus, just the moments that he had. There are so many of them. There are so many tribute posts out there where people have just put in 30, 40 GIFs of Adrian Beltre doing wonderful things. Just really played the game like he was loving every minute of it. And I think he's the kind of player who, you know, when the fun police come out and say, you know, you're not playing the game the right way, I think we can all point to Adrian Beltre and say, this is the right way to play the game. You know, wonderfully and looking like you're enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you would echo that sentiment, Dave.
It's testament to the man himself, the amount of people that have come out. No one's got a bad word to say about Beltre, you know, and the amount of people that have come out on Twitter and on social media and have given their praise to Beltre over this last day, 24 hours. It just says it all, really. And like Darius put perfectly, yeah, fun player to watch, played it in the right spirit.
Do either of you have a favourite Beltre moment that you want to flag that was within those showers of GIFs that were everywhere on the internet?
I really like the one the at bat with Felix Hernandez, where they're kind of just basically laughing at each other the whole time. He takes a sort of ridiculous hack at one of Felix's pitches, and they're both just kind of giggling back and forth, basically like kids. I just feel like that was a really fun moment on the field. But also him moving the on deck circle from last year.
I was going to say that one's just absolute classic. Yeah, so that's and the other one, which is I think the most famous, although those two have come up a lot, is throwing the glove at Elvis Andrus after he touched his head during a pitching change, which is just absolutely amazing. The story. I can't remember who did the story for The Athletic where he got Andrus to take him through step by step how he decided he was going to do that and what it felt like to be hit with the glove square in the back.
So, I think it was Levi Weaver, wasn't it?
It was Levi, yes. It was Levi Weaver, of course. I could remember his Twitter handle, but not his name. So, yeah, check that out if you've got an Athletic subscription, because that's one of the favourite things that I've read on there in the off-season so far. It's unashamedly partisan, and I think all the better for it. So Beltre's gone, but we've got a new big swinging dick on the block in the form of Brody Van Wagenen, who's got genuinely the best name in baseball, and I'm never going to tire of saying it, and it sounds like I'm going to be saying it an awful lot over the next couple of months, because good fucking grief, what the hell is he up to, Dave? I'm going to go to you first, because the Mets are in your division. You're probably quite enjoying this.
Absolutely sitting back and loving it, yes.
What's he doing? What is he doing?
Well, is he rebuilding, or, you know, why are you getting rid of Syndergaard? It's one of your best players. It's already a clear indication that you're rebuilding, but they get more and more bizarre every, well, it's not a rumor, is it? They reckon this is going to be done by the end of today, don't they?
The Diaz and Cano.
You're
trading away one of the best pitchers in baseball whilst trading for the best closer in baseball. I just don't see the logic.
The thing is, you've got to be... He'll only be closing for the gnome anyway, won't he? So he'll be sat on the bench most of the time.
Yeah, Mickey Callaway's not going to put him in. I can't make pitching changes, that guy here. Darius, have you got any thoughts on Van Wagenen? Is it just him throwing his weight around, showing that Tony La Russa hasn't ruined it for agents in the GM chair for all time?
Yeah, I feel like there is an element of him kind of wanting to make a splash. I feel like it must be quite hard to adjust from the role of agent, where you're just so used to bigging up your clients and talking smack about everybody, and sort of shifting into the GM role. It feels like you ought to maybe be a little bit more nuanced, but I said in the chat, it reminded me of when AJ Preller took over in San Diego and spent his first 3 months sort of signing all the free agents and trading for everybody. And at the end of his first season, he had to blow everything up because it went horribly wrong.
Mm.
But I do also think, based on the terms of this deal, I feel like he maybe has fleeced the Mariners a little bit if they're paying as much money as it sounds like they're paying of Cano's contract. Jared Kelenich is a good but not at elite prospect, I think. Although the way some Mets fans are talking about him, you'd think he might be Vlad Jr. or something. But I think to get Edwin Diaz with 4 years of control, Robinson Cano is still a very good baseball player. So I think that actually they might have done quite well with that one. It's the Syndergaard rumors that don't make a lot of sense to me, because I think getting in Cano in particular is very much a win now move. And I think you need to keep a guy like Syndergaard on the team if you're going to go for it. I think, you know, that means their window is the next 2-3 years if they bring in Cano.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Syndergaard thing I can't understand at all. And the other thing, I mean, I did wonder about this, but the other wrinkle to that I read today is that he was Syndergaard's agent as well. So maybe Thor was just a bit of a tool as a client.
Yeah, I've seen some people speculate that he knows that, you know, he's got more injury issues than everybody else does. He also negotiated Cano's mega contract, apparently.
Really?
So he's got a connection there too. So people asked a lot about these conflicts of interest. It seems like a very strange situation, really. But I kind of like that deal. It's just, if they move Syndergaard, I'm not quite sure what they're doing there. And unless they are getting back several other pieces who are ready to compete now, and from the sounds of things, I don't think the Padres are in the business of giving up those types of players.
No, you would assume not. So from one team beginning with M that doesn't seem to know what the hell it's doing to another. So we had a question from my friend Vamos Appleby. Hello, Stefan. What the hell is Jerry DePoto's end game? Now, I've got a thought here, but before I offer my thought, I'm going to throw it to you guys. So, Darius, what is Jerry DePoto's end game?
I don't think Jerry has an end game. I think he just sort of has this personal existential crisis where he has to do something all the time.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Just make more trades. That's the end game. That's all it is.
He can't stop. Happy for 2 minutes, and then immediately he has to go, right, where's the next trade coming from? obviously, the end game ought to be to win the World Series, but it feels like this past season was the closest they're going to get for a little while, especially given their awful farm system. And they're not getting a ton. I would have just traded Diaz by himself. I feel like they could have got two or three pretty good prospects if they just traded Diaz by himself without trying to shed this Cano deal and just suck it up with Cano and, you know, maybe eat the money in a much less high profile situation. So yeah, I don't really know what he's doing. I think they desperately need to overhaul that farm system, and they've got a couple more pieces like Mitch Haniger they could trade for something decent, I think, but it's hard to see how they're going to be a good team in the next 2-4 years.
Yeah, is Mike Zanino for Malik Smith one of the oddest trades of both of major league ready players in recent history? That's more or less a question than a statement. A rhetorical question, if you will, because it is. I don't really see who wins from that. And if it's anyone, it's probably the Rays. Mike Zanino is going to have to get used to framing lots of different pitches, which, of course, is not his strong suit. Okay, so we've had a bit of hot stove chat. We've got a little bit more in some of our listener questions that were coming up. But one thing I just wanted to get both of your guys' views on is Rob Manfred's comments this week about the opportunities for baseball from the legalization and opening up of the market in gambling, specifically in play betting within the United States. He did come over a bit like he'd had Ray Winston in his ear earlier this week, like, bet in play now. God. How many foul balls is Brandon Belt gonna eat? That was a bit like Rob Manfred. 21, Ray. Yeah. Oh, what, I've won 1,400 quid. Thank you very much. Any thoughts from you guys? Dave, it seems a bit of an odd one with Pete Rose still barred from the Hall of Fame. I think that's partly because he is a tool, but, you know, his initial crime was betting, of course.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. Who's it going to impact? Who's it I don't know. Is it going to really improve people's enjoyment watching it? I don't really get the move.
No, I think I agree with you, Darius. Yeah, I know you're not a gambling man. You're not Tom Pringle. Maybe we should have waited until he was here. Yeah. I bet you £1 for charity, and I will draw a picture of a cat eating an egg if Malik Smith falls over on the base paths against the Orioles. So maybe we should have just waited for him.
I'm just waiting for the moment that I can get Tom to bet his house on something, I think. Like, I'm just going to string him along with these silly bets, and finally I'll hit him with one that just everything he's got a wager on it. Yeah, I mean, we haven't got a betting expert on. I basically only gamble on fantasy baseball, and if you spend as much time playing fantasy baseball as me, then maybe it's not so much gambling. I think that's been a point of contention, certainly with the daily fantasy sports industry, which I think does open up quite a lot of opportunities for MLB to get involved with licensing and things like that. I think they've tried to seize a bit more control on that front and perhaps recognize that that's a revenue stream that they could be taking advantage of instead of just telling people they can't do it. So we'll see where they go with that. And if they try and maybe monetize that a bit more, maybe we'll be seeing MLB.com running their own daily fantasy games and trying to get people to gamble money on through the main MLB site from that. That's one way I guess they could possibly do it. But yeah, I think maybe we should bring on a betting expert who understands the ins and outs of the industry a little bit more than us.
Yeah, we know one or two. We know one or two, and I think we've got that in the pipeline. So Ray, if you're listening, mate, you know where we are. Bring yourself on Sexy Beast form. Don't bring Ben Kingsley. No one wants Ben Kingsley and Sexy Beast on this podcast. So we're going to move on to some listener questions. Thank you to all of you who sent them through. We've got some about London, some about Hot Stove, and some, frankly, very weird ones. So we'll run through them. So first question is from Charles Baldwin, Baseball Chaz. He's asked a question about MLB expansion. There's been some reports this week that the current front runners for the next two host cities for MLB teams are Portland and Mexico City. And his question is, does that sound right? And why not Montreal, of course, which has been a favorite and a front runner for a long time for really good reasons, given the heritage of the sport there, or Las Vegas, given that that's where our here Ray Winston hangs out now?
Well, I think we actually brought this up when I spoke to Nate Fryman, who has played baseball down in Mexico, and he pointed out that Mexico City is at extremely high altitude. Mm. Higher even than Coors Field, so that would present its own problems in addition, I think, to a lot of the issues perhaps with infrastructure and some of the I think he alluded to some perhaps slightly dodgy situations with contracts and things like that that he found going on down there. I'm not sure how you would police all of that effectively, so go back and listen to the pod with Nate, because he had some interesting things to say about that.
Yeah, he did. And listen to that that conversation with Nate, full stop, because he was absolutely brilliant. And pulling the curtain back ever so slightly, that's had fewer listens to that podcast than it really deserves, because it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he was really cool. And I'm sure if you gave him a tweet, he would probably delve into this issue further, because he really does like his analytics. And I'm sure he could give you all sorts of stats on the subject. As for Portland, I think Portland has been one of the sites named pretty much every time this has come up. I think they released sort of projected plans for a new ballpark today, which I think was obviously a bit of a nod at, oh, please come and have baseball here, because we'll build you this lovely stadium. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And Montreal, I think, yeah, there's obviously a lot of nostalgia around that, but I don't know how much MLB have looked into the viability there, and perhaps they feel like they don't want to go back there, having already been a bit burned once. And I know there were a lot of conflicting situations there, and our old mate Jeffrey Loria was involved in the end of that as well. A lot of complicated history. I would recommend Jonah Carey's book about the Montreal Expos, actually up and away, if you're interested about the history of baseball in Montreal, because a really fascinating story and quite sad the way it ended, really, but Jonah tells it very well.
Yeah, he does indeed. I'd actually almost forgotten about Jeffrey Loria. Jeter's doing such a terrible job of the Marlins, being the owner of the Marlins. I'd forgotten, like, A, Jeffrey Loria existed, and B, that he was actually worse. Anyway, it's crazy what a year in this this wild, wild sport can do to your mind, isn't it? The other thing about Mexico City, which I found out this week from our friend Jeff Enderby, who lives over there and has, of course, written some really fun pieces about following baseball in Mexico. If you haven't read Jeff's piece about going to watch the playoff game in Mexico City, watch the Diablo Rojo. It's well worth a look. Jeff told me this week in an email that he sent me that you can get baseball wrestling masks on the market in Mexico City, and he's going to send us some over. So I think there's going to be one each and then some competition prizes. So that sounds like a good reason to have baseball in Mexico City. Everything is wrestling in that crazy, crazy country. The next question is from Chris Brown. If you could choose anywhere to sit at a baseball game, where would you sit? And I don't think this is a London Stadium question. I think it's a general question. So let's go with you, Dave, because you got to sit behind home plate once.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I was going to say, I was very, very fortunate enough to sit behind home plate, and that was the best experience of my life. If it turns to any ballpark, I would love to sit San Francisco, AT&T Park, right by the bay behind you. I'd love to sit up there.
Nice.
Where else would I love to sit? I'd love to go to Seattle to see the Phillies there. That looks like an incredible ballpark. Mm. And the whole city with all their stadiums up there looks an incredible place. But, yeah, nothing for me beat Diamond Club seats at Phillies behind home plate. Just an incredible experience. So I've been very fortunate enough to experience that already.
That's the self-described greatest moment of your life in a week when you propose to your girlfriend. Don't yes. play this, mate. Darius, what about you?
I've been to AT&T, and that was pretty tremendous ballpark to go to. PNC Park and Camden Yards, I think they've got some really interesting features, so I kind of like to go there. And Tom's always wax lyrical about San Diego as well. I interpreted Chris's question a little bit more liberally, and I think I'd actually like to go and sit in the dugout with the players.
Oh, yeah.
go and find a fun clubhouse who look like they're having a good time. And maybe I'd go and join Cleveland and see what Trevor Bauer's saying to the rest of his teammates during that game.
Oh, God, that guy's absolutely, he's a different cat, isn't he?
He sure is.
Yeah, I hadn't been interpreting that liberally. I'm now got all sorts of ideas firing off in my head. So I've been to AT&T like you, and I was fortunate enough not to sit behind home plate, but to sit in some posh knob seats because a friend of mine managed to procure them through her place of work, which, you know, it's in San Francisco. Try and guess which of those big companies it is. I'll leave that up to you. And that was very, very nice. The people behind home plate, I haven't actually said this on the podcast because I've missed a few because I've started a new job and I've been a bit busy. The people behind home plate were Dodgers fans. So I went to a Dodgers and a Giants series. And let's say they were quite inebriated. They were having a lovely old time for most of the game. And then they started getting a little bit bawdy, and some stewards stepped in and told them maybe this was a bad idea and they should settle down because they were literally distracting the players. He was stepping out of the batter's box whilst they were being hectored by these rather rowdy Dodgers fans having the time of their life. That didn't quite work. So then some police came and maybe told them that if they didn't stop, they would be moved on. And not one, not two, but three of them assaulted a police officer. So clearly their decision was, rather than sit behind home plate, which I'd sure they'd played a pretty penny for, they'd spend a cold night in the hole in the San Francisco PD. So, you know, that's one way of looking at it. My personal view, obviously, I'm a big fan of Fenway, and we were actually having this conversation this week about where you should sit in Fenway. And my view is you should sit in left field. It's actually the family zone. So if you want to go for a few beers, maybe don't sit there. But given the night before I sat there, I'd had far too many beers and felt like death, it really didn't bother me. Those are really, really lovely seats. Really nice atmosphere, really good lines of sight. And you're right next to the Green Monster and you can get some really good pictures. So that's my tip if you're going to Fenway. Not too expensive either. But my answer, I think, taking your liberal view, Darius, is I want to sit in the Fenway bullpens when Robbie Ross has got his hat back out because he's going to be there again next year. Mm.
Can I add to that? Actually, thinking about it, I'd love, from a nostalgia point of view, to sit on the Wrigley on the old rooftop terrace seats.
Oh, nice.
Just for the old school sort of experience, because I'd love to go to Wrigley, and it just looks pretty cool, doesn't it? It's different. So Oh, where the not many of the ballparks now. I've got the old school roof terraces up there. It'd be nice just to sit on a roof and watch baseball, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be good. And that's what Tom always goes on about when he talks about San Diego. He didn't actually go into Petco. Still think it's amazing that there's a ballpark named after a pet shop. that's beside the point. He watched it from a roof terrace. So this is a question for you, Dave, from Yankee Fans UK.
Yeah, go on.
How are you going to cope when Corbin and Harper sign for the Yankees?
did he put Harper, or have you just added that?
No, he put Harper.
I'm a bit resigned to Corbin because I think Corbin is going to the Yankees, but I still firmly believe we'll get Harper and Machado.
Nice. There you go.
And Miller and Goldschmidt. And every other free agent and big trade we're involved linked with at the moment.
Dave, can I remind you, last time you appeared on this podcast, you told us that you were going to trade for Machado. So your track record's not great, mate, but you know, I love your confidence.
I also ask about in this hypothetical Paul Goldschmidt trade, are you leaving Rhys Hoskins in the outfield again?
Yeah. but that's what we need, Harper.
I mean, you probably score so many runs; it doesn't matter how bad.
The thing is, we're going to be tonking runs. it won't matter. Like even our high error rate last year wouldn't matter with the amount of runs. 20 odd runs we'll score in a game.
Just sign Nelson Cruz, stick him in the other corner. Wouldn't matter.
Exactly. Or just put some relievers out there, and it wouldn't matter.
I've got a suggestion. This is how you get Hoskins, Goldschmidt, Harper, Herrera, all in the same team. Don't let the pitcher hit because it's bollocks. Next question from UK Cubs. Darius, I'm going to put this one to you. Will the Cubs be able to cope next year without Tommy La Stella?
It's going to be tricky. Tommy's been a big part of that team. I actually found it very interesting. I've been working on some Cubs things lately.
Do you want to tell us more about that?
Do I want to tell you? I can tell you more about that if you like.
This is cool. This is an exclusive, people, and it's bloody cool.
Yeah. So if you're buying the Baseball Prospectus annual in 2019, all of the Chicago Cubs comments will have been written by me, possibly heavily edited. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that. But So Tommy La Stella was kind of on the Cubs roster all year, and sort of managed to get into little bits of quite a lot of the games, but didn't actually play very much. So, yeah, I think he's a great clubhouse guy. Everybody talks about what a great teammate he is. I think in terms of actual on-the-field performance, the Cubs will probably manage just fine. But I look forward to the hot take pieces when the Cubs start 2-8 and everybody blames it on Tommy La Stella leaving. That would be quite fun.
And the last question is from Alex Hode. Irrespective of pricing, do we even want the London Games to grow the game here, or will it just make us feel less special, Dave?
That's self-perspective, isn't it? I want it to grow. I want it to take off here. I'd love to go into work and talk about baseball with colleagues and friends, and you know, because NFL's taken off so much over here, and you know, even to the point where my work colleagues are talking about it and getting into it, and my friends are as well. I'd love to have that with baseball as well. So for me, yeah, let's grow it.
Great, fully agree, Darius, and I'm sure that you do too,
Dave.
I was moving it on, man. You know, pro at this these days.
Yeah, I think as much as it might seem like we're like obviously minor celebrities or something here, we are some guys talking about baseball on a podcast. So I think the suggestion that we're special was rather tongue in cheek, and I'm sure we should treat it as such. But it would be wonderful to have lots more people to talk about baseball too. And I think one thing that's very positive about the reaction this week has been to see how many people care.
We've had
so much interaction on Facebook, on Twitter. People have really been getting involved, a lot of people. And so that's been really nice. Not the best of circumstances, but I think it's wonderful to see how big the community's got already.
Great. So that's the last of our questions, and it's just about all we've got time for. But before we go, I just wanted to ask you, Dave, about Phillies Fan TV, UK Phillies Fan TV, which is coming soon. We've seen your sizzle reel already. When's that landing in our collective virtual lap?
So that'll be landing. So I'm moving house next week, and I've got a spare room. And until any sign of a baby is on the horizon, I'm going to turn it into a mini studio. And I'm going to be doing filming a season preview, an NLE season preview with Braves, Nats, Marlins, who have I left? Mets fans. And doing a special down Passyunk. And then it's going to be, it's like experimental. It's not going to be super serious. It's not going to be all about the Phillies. I want to try and get the names and faces behind some of these UK accounts as well to get them on.
Great.
So let's say we're playing the Brewers and the Cubs next week. I'd love to either meet face to face and chat about the series ahead, their perspective of it, our perspective of it. Or if you've just played a team like the Mets, the Nats, you know, get David Tate on, or the Nationals UK account, or some fans on. I want it to be fan interaction as much as possible and make it fun to watch for not just Philly fans, but for UK baseball fans as well. Because, you know, America have got so many baseball programs and, you know, daily on telly and MLB Network, and we don't have really anything. And I'd like to sort of bridge the gap slightly and do something a little different, experiment with this. So hopefully it'll be every week from when the season starts, and let's have some fun with it and get as many people on as possible and make it interactive competitions, meetups at Passyunk, and especially with the London series, do some specials for that as well. So I've got my new laptop, I've got a new camcorder or video camera as well, 90s then, wasn't it? Got my new video camera, and go out about and have some fun with it.
Excellent. Sounds brilliant, and looking forward to it. And you know where we are, mate.
If
you want some blowhards. Just tell people again where they can find you, both with your Phillies hat on and with your MLB UK community hat on.
So at UK Phillies and at MLB Community Baseball by Committee on Twitter, and also our Facebook group Baseball by Committee.
Excellent. And Darius, you've already given away your big winter secret. Aaron Gleeman's going to be chasing you now that's out in the public domain. When is that going to land? When are you getting the proofs?
I don't know the full schedule. Last year, they were sort of in the process of doing the final run through of the proofs not long after I started, and that was kind of mid-January time. So I think normally first week of February is about when they aim to release. But I'm sure their Baseball Prospectus account will be tweeting plenty about that. And you can go and get a big deal now. BP Super Premium, get yourself an annual, get yourself a t-shirt. I think it also includes a subscription for a friend. So if you're interested in signing up and getting access to all the content, that's all in one package there right now.
Will they send the t-shirts to the UK? Because they wouldn't last year. Or will they send them to you and then you can forward them on?
I don't know. I will say that many of you may well have seen that basically that BP has kind of been taken back over by the staff. Mm. It was run by a sort of separate entity for the past couple of years, but the staff used to own it and now they own it again. So I think there will be some changes behind the scenes. And so possibly that kind of thing might change. I will push for that, obviously, as the UK staff member. If you pre-order that book, then you'll be able to find my content. And I'm also involved in a lot of the depth charts. So when all of your teams have got the wrong playing time projections and things like that, you can blame me. So I've done quite a few of those teams, including Tom's Padres. Look out for all of that. And you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64, where I mostly tweet fantasy content, really. Occasionally, just sort of mock Tom and his stupid bets.
Yeah, we're all doing that. And you can find me on the internet where I mostly tweet about, UK public policy. Isn't it the best? Thanks very much for joining us this evening. I hope you found this a pleasant diversion that's caught your mind on the big topic of the week. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Darius. And we'll see you again soon. We've got some absolutely amazing guests lined up. We don't want to spoil them for you until they're in the can, but keep your eyes peeled and your ears peeled because you're really going to enjoy them. Bye-bye.